This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Om Sairam to our listeners. Welcome to Saturday News number 1108. And today we'll be hearing a talk by Brother Arvind on the topic of free blessings whose value we don't realise. A story of the crucifix. Satya Sai Baba's miracles. Let's have a Ganesh Bhajan before we dive into Brother Arvind's talk.
Sairam. Our planet Earth has been blessed multiple times with great people, men of God, women of God, sages, saints, prophets, even avatars themselves. During those periods when these Mahatmas, during the times when these avatars were on planet Earth, many, many people enjoyed their proximity. They got the chance to see them, hear them, talk to them, interact with them, touch them, you know, and most importantly, absorb their vibes, their vibrations, embody their essence, and become one with them in the spirit. Once these great people leave the face of the earth, the people who have not got the opportunity to interact with them, they also yearn for that. And it is not as if they can't experience it, because the avatars, the sages, the saints, these great realized beings are much beyond their body. They continue to touch people in so many ways. But one such way in which they continue to touch people, because it is very tangible, are through the places that they lived in, the objects that they used, and the people whom they touched. That is why people from around the world go and try to interact with the people who had been associated with these great people, or the objects that have been associated with these great people, and the places that have been associated with these great people. As time passes by, the people who have been associated with such people begin to reduce, begin to dilute, if I may say so, and therefore that leaves us with places that these people have visited and the objects they have touched. Objects that have been in contact with these great masters or avatars or prophets begin to be treasured, valued, and worshipped as the avatar, prophet, and masters themselves. That is why if you visit Sri Lanka, you will see a magnificently large Buddhist temple that has been built for Buddha's tooth. Yes, though this tooth is never seen, it is believed that that tooth resides within that magnificently large golden structure that thousands and lakhs and millions of people worship throughout the year as the Buddha himself. In the similar vein, when it comes to Christianity, one of the foremost objects of reverence that is believed to have been touched by Jesus, that is believed to have touched Jesus himself, is what is called the Shroud of Turin. It is believed that after crucifixion, Lord Jesus Christ, his body was wrapped in this cloth, and when it was wrapped, you know, the body was embalmed, it had spices, therefore there will be marks on this cloth. But that apart, Jesus Christ is not an ordinary human being, right? Therefore there were those divine vibrations that is believed to have exposed this cloth to rays, just like the light rays affect a photographic plate. And in the later years, when photographs have been taken of the Shroud of Turin, an amazing likeness of how Jesus Christ looked back in those days comes. It's amazing, it's phenomenal. I had goosebumps even as I saw the picture of the Shroud of Turin. Now that Shroud of Turin is so special because it had touched Jesus. And now here is the description of one other object that actually touched Lord Jesus Christ. That is the cross on which he was crucified. And that object was actually materialized by Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba to a devout Christian, Dr. John Hislop or Dr. Jack Hislop, in the most amazing circumstances, in the most amazing manner. And even hearing this story is sure to evoke devotion, love, dedication, and inspiration for not just Christians, but to all lovers of God around the world. This episode dates back to the Mahashivratri of 1973. Now, in those times, every year during Mahashivratri, Swami would do the Lingodbhavam, where the lingam or the ellipsoid-shaped, ovoid-shaped object would emerge from his stomach through his throat out of his mouth. Sometimes it would be of gold, of other precious stones. It could be gems, it could be crystal, it would be different material, but it would emerge. Sometimes one, sometimes two, sometimes even eight have emerged from Swami during Mahashivaratri. And Swami has said it in the later years that anyone who watches the emergence of this lingam from him will not have a next birth. There will be no punarjanma. And this, I think, the devotees perceived even in those years back then. And that is why wherever Swami was during Shivaratri, Mahashivaratri, the place would be very crowded because people would come to gather to see this Lingodvavam happening. But then in the early 1970s, Swami decided to discontinue the public Lingodvavam. I'm choosing my words very carefully. Swami stopped doing it in public. The Lingodvavam continued to happen. Every year there would be the Lingodvavam, but Swami stopped doing it in public because it was leading to stampede, it was leading to huge crowds, it was leading to sometimes people getting hurt. And Swami does not want this. Swami says, help ever, hurt never. If you can't help, don't hurt. And therefore, till the later years, that is 1999, I got the golden opportunity of photographing this Lingodvavam for a couple of years when Swami restarted it. You know, at this time, proper seating facilities were there and everyone was disciplined. And when Swami was sure that there would be no chance of such a stampede or such a thing happening, Swami restarted this. And, you know, that is a separate video and story in itself. You can have a look at it at this link above. Enjoy the beautiful darshan of the Hiranyagarbha Linga. But I am speaking of the time in 1973 when Swami had stopped doing this in public. A day before the Mahashivaratri, many devotees were told to be ready to set out. Set out where? That was a mystery. Early in the morning, after they left in a convoy of cars, midway in the journey did they get to know that they were going to the Bandipur Animal Reserve. Bandipur is a bioreserve that comes between the states of Karnataka and Tamil Nadu in India. It's most of it is in Karnataka. So Swami was going there and Mahashivaratri would be celebrated in Bandipur. And in Swami's party was Dr. John Hislop. They landed there in the afternoon, they refreshed themselves, relaxed, and on the Shivaratri morning, they went for a drive into the forest, in the forest vehicles, trying to look for elephants. They hoped that they would have some sightings, but no, they couldn't spot any elephant. Dr. Hislop records in his book, My Baba and I, that he hoped to see the elephants come and offer their salutations to Swami. This had happened a few years before, you know, the wild elephants had come and saluted Swami in the forest, and he hoped to see a repeat of that, but that was not to be. But something else amazing was planned, because as Swami was returning, he showed one riverbed that was mostly dry and he said, in the evening let us gather on this riverbed and celebrate Mahashivaratri. So in the evening they drove to this riverbed and they were walking down after getting down from their cars. Dr. Hislop happened to be next to Swami. And Swami casually plucked a twig from a nearby bush. And then he plucked another twig and he kept both those twigs like this, you know, like a cross. And showing it to Hislop, he asked, Hislop, what is this? And Hislop said, Swami, it's a cross, because he's a Christian and anything you see like this, it reminds you of the cross. So he said, Swami, it's a cross. Swami now smiled, cupped his hands over this cross that he had just placed and gently but assuredly blowed thrice on it. And then when Swami opened his palm, what did Dr. Hislop witness? In Swami's hands was a beautiful crucifix with the figurine of Lord Jesus Christ on it. Swami said, this is exactly how Lord Jesus looked after he was crucified. Dear brothers and sisters, as I said, the Shroud of Turin comes very close to giving us an idea of how Lord Jesus Christ looked. The second object, if I can say so, that gives us this idea is this crucifix. Here is an enlarged image of that, because the figurine of Lord Jesus on this cross was hardly 1 inch. And this is a magnified blow up, and you can see the amazing details which took Dr. Hislop's breath away. Swami gave it to him and then made a revelation that, you know, if the previous one had taken his breath away, I don't know what this did to him. So Swami said, the wood from which this crucifix has been created, right, is the same wood on which Lord Jesus was crucified. It took me time because I had to gather these atom by atom and reconstruct and reconstitute this to give it to you. Ah, even as I say this, a thrill erupts and I feel goosebumps all over my hand. And you know, Swami did this, gave it to him, and he did it so casually. That is the thing, you know. Swami says, my miracles are ashcharyam for you, but sahajam for me. They are surprising and astonishing for you, but sahajam, very natural for me. Just like you breathe and you don't say in wonderment, wow, I'm breathing. Miracles are like that for Swami. Because after that, they just proceeded to the riverbed, and there the Lingodbhavam actually happened. Swami was giving a discourse, they were all singing bhajans. In the middle of that, Swami began to get spasms, and the lingam emerged from Swami late in the evening on that beautiful riverbed in Bandipur forest. After that, Swami made a small mound of sand in front of him, you know, it was just a mound of sand. And then Swami drew something on it and put his fingers in and pulled out an urn, a covered urn that was filled with fragrant amrita or nectar, nectar divine. Then Swami waved his hand and created another small vessel from which he began to take this amrita and pour it into the mouths of all those who had gathered. Of course, needless to say, there was more than enough for everyone who were there, despite the urn being so small, and still a lot of this amrit remained. And that was how the Mahashivaratri of 1973 was celebrated, on that dry riverbed, on the almost dry riverbed. Now, coming back to this crucifix, as soon as Dr. Hislop got back to Mexico, where he was staying back then, in the border between America and Mexico, he used to stay. There, he got this photograph taken, enlargements made so that he could study Jesus, how he looked, the emaciated stomach. Swami told him that Jesus had not eaten for 8 days, and that is why his stomach is so much gone in. Swami also told him that this is of Jesus when the life had left, when he had taken his Mahasamadhi already, and that is why his head is drooping. And there is a hole on top of this cross, crucifix, because Swami said it was hung, that is where it was hidden. And this cross, where is it today? Where is it today? Because it's so amazing. See, these objects are very, very, very special. How do I know this? Well, two reasons are there. Let me state the first one. The first is, once these enlarged photographs had come to their home, the crucifix was also on the table, and Dr. Hislop, his wife, the photographer, all others gathered around it, and they were marveling it, and they were just discussing how this is the closest we can get to Jesus Christ in this day and age, right? And even as a small doubt crept into their minds, the weather outside suddenly changed. There was a huge storm. The windows began to bang each other. The door began to rattle, and it appeared as if the roof of their house would be plucked off. It was such a storm of such magnitude. And the shock of that storm was broken when there was a near scream from Dr. Hislop's wife. She said, it was 5 p.m. when Jesus was crucified, and the conditions at that time was exactly like this. It is 5 p.m. now, and these conditions have been recreated just to assure us that it is indeed an object that has touched Lord Jesus Christ. It is not an ordinary crucifix. That was his experience in Mexico. 2 years later, in 1975, when Hislop had come to India, he got to know from some people that in an interview, when they were discussing and Dr. John Hislop's name came up, Swami told them that he had gifted him a crucifix that had been reconstituted from the wood of the original cross on which Jesus Christ was crucified. And then he also made a mention of the storm and all that window banging, the door shaking, and all that had happened the same conditions that existed, the same storm that had come when Lord Jesus was crucified. Swami said that that too had happened to give them conviction, to reinforce their faith that it is indeed true. So what had happened halfway across the world, Swami was narrating here, and Dr. John Hislop got to know about it after he came there. As I said, now I don't know where that cross is. I just hope that someday somebody will watch this video and maybe let us know if that cross exists. Most probably these kind of objects, right, which are directly connected with avatars of the bygone era, they come only for a short time for a purpose and then they are gone. Swami has materialized the Chudamani, or the hair ornament of Mother Sita, but then it has gone back. Swami has materialized the nose ring of the Devi at Kanyakumari, whose shine could be seen from kilometers away. Swami had materialized that also. Swami has materialized the necklace that Ravana used to wear, the ring that Rama had. And in that series comes also this, the crucifix from the original wood on which Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Now, while rings and chains and watches and different objects that Swami has materialized and given people continue to exist to this day, all these kind of very extremely special objects, they all go back. Nobody knows how, when, where, but they're just not there after a period of time. And I also feel that this crucifix has gone like that. But I'm grateful to Swami for having allowed it to be photographed. I'm grateful to his instrument, Dr. John Hislop, for having photographed it and having gifted us at least the photographic memory that we can see, touch, and experience that joy. Now, dear brothers and sisters, while we get this thrill when we think of this beautiful crucifix, let us think of how blessed we are that we have something that belongs to Swami, the avatar of the age, even to this day. And what is that? His golden voice, his beautiful form, yes, his lovely words which are documented in Satya Sai Speaks. All these are great blessings whose value we do not realize because they are given to us free. Just like we don't realize the value of water or value of air because God has given them to us free, we do not realize the value of the discourses whose audios are available. Swami's voice is available for us to listen day in and day out. Let us listen to Swami's discourses. Let us read his words. Let us look at his beautiful form photographs. I don't think any other avatar has been photographed. As I said, the Shroud of Turin is worshipped, venerated, and it thrills the viewers. It is not out for display even yearly once or even once in a decade. God knows when it is displayed. It is only photographs of the Shroud that is available. We have photos of our Swami. May we spend every moment of our life looking at Him, hearing Him, contemplating on Him, and filling our hearts with Him. Dearest Swami, whatever may happen to us in our life, let us never ever lose your love and lose our love for you. May the love that we have for you in our hearts keep growing stronger every passing moment. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.